Before we pray, I would like to read Psalms 143. Psalms 143. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with us. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy has persecuted my soul, he has smitten my life down to the ground. He has made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee, as a thirsty land. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. When David sometimes in the Psalms expresses, from the deep I call unto you, O Lord, then this was not just said with the lips, but meant with the heart. And if a prayer comes from the heart, then it ascends to the throne of God. Here, in this psalm, it stands out to us that David does not deal with others. He doesn't pray, O God, show them the right way. He sees himself. He comes with himself into the presence of God. And this is the great lesson which we learn from this psalm. He says, "And enter not into judgment with thy servant." The whole psalm is a dialogue. David speaks to his God. He pours out his heart before the Lord. He entered the most holy place, not to speak about others, but to appear in the presence of God, to speak with God about himself and about that what touched him. He says, "Teach me to do thy will." Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. This is not an egocentric prayer in a general way, but the deep cry of the soul of a man who seeks the connection with God, who knows his relationship with God, who knows what it means to be joined with him. "I stretch forth my hands unto thee." And then he says later on, "For I lift up my soul unto thee." He consecrated himself fully to the Lord. May this psalm to me and to you, precious heart, may it be a lesson, a remaining lesson. If we come into the presence of God, calling upon him in prayer, then not because of what he shall do with all the others, but what he shall do with us, what he shall do in me and in you. And for this, we will ask him today with all our hearts and with all our souls. And all brothers who feel that they should raise their hands to it, do it. It cannot do any harm, just the contrary. Paul writes to Timothy, "I will therefore that brethren pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." We arrived in a situation in which we may and must, from the depth of our soul, cry to the Lord, and he answers us. This is the wonderful. God is alive. Our Lord rose from the dead. He testified of himself as the living one, as the true one. He is faithful. Every promise which he gave, he fulfills. He can impossibly take his word back. His decisions are valid forever. And this gives us courage and joy to come into his presence and to say, "Lord, here are we in your name gathered to have fellowship with you, to be joined with you. Take everything from us and speak with us as a father speaks with his sons and daughters who are obedient to him. You know, there are sometimes two things. If the children are disobedient and walk on their own ways, then there is a deep sorrow in the heart of a father and of a mother. But if the children obey the word of the father and of the mother, then there's joy about it. And we want that our God would be now pleased with us, that he doesn't have to be angry with us and would just bear us, but that he feels well in your and in my heart, that he feels well in our midst, that he could put up his dwelling place, and that we not only could serve him with our lips, but with our hearts and with our lives, for the praise and glory of his name. Let us now stand up for prayer. Lord our God, together we come into your holy presence. We place us consciously under the coverage of the blood of the Lamb. Lord, you made the new covenant with us. You have said, this is the new covenant in my blood. Faithful Lord, as your people, we are gathered here today in your name. O God, come into our midst. Give us the connection with you. Let everything else be taken away from us. It shall give way in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You, O Lord, shall and will come to your right. Beloved Savior, you have given your life for us. Give us now the strength that we put our life into your service for the glory of your name. Teach me, teach us, each one of us, to do what is pleasing to you, to walk on your ways, to take your word to heart and to obey it. O God, make obedient children of God out of us, on whom your well-pleasing rests, in whose midst you feel at home. Dear Lord, give us now the grace to be really united with you, joined, yes, to have fellowship with you. Faithful God, here are your people gathered, the sheep of your pasture, the sheep of your hand. I ask you, as the great shepherd of his sheep, who has given the life for it, Give us today spiritual food and nourishment by grace. Raise those who are bowed down. Comfort them who are sorrowful. Encourage the feeble-minded. O Lord, may the feeble knees be strengthened anew, and the hands which hang down be lifted up to you. Faithful God, I have one more request. May nobody leave this building as he came in. May in every heart something take place through your word, through your blood, through your spirit. We thank you for it, for thou art present. Worship and honor be unto your wonderful and holy name. Amen. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive praise, honor, glory, and worship. Now we will read some scriptures, for the time is running fast. Some scriptures which shall show us that the Lord builds his church, and that all who belong to his church, that they have part in this spiritual build up, part in the growth, having part in everything what belongs to the kingdom of God, never to participate in destruction, but rather in the build up, because the Lord says it so. You all know the well known scripture where our Lord says in Matthew 16, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And there, Brother Branham said a nice sentence. He said, it doesn't mean that all of hell would not attack the church, but that the church cannot be overpowered. And even all of hell would be loosed, and we could see all the demons with our natural eyes, then we would stand as true as God would help us. And we would have the faith that God in Christ has defeated the devil and hell and death, and that the powers of the enemy cannot overpower us, because the Lord has conquered and defeated them. To this, we can all say a hallelujah and an amen, for thus it is. And amen means, in our language, so be it. And because it is so, we may honor the Lord by faith. If we sometimes are half-hearted, then this is a earthly, a very natural reaction to natural things. But in our hearts, in our soul, that what God has said, what God has done, is so deeply anchored, rooted, that it can never be taken out. And because we know this, we not only look on the attacks, but we are then confident. If namely the enemy makes these attacks, then we are for him a danger. You can even watch a soccer match or wherever it might be. Only who has the ball, there something goes on. All the others, they run across the playground. They look, yes, but whoever has the ball, he gets attacked. Now, why should we withdraw here? If I look back on my last journey, and when I think about that I had to encourage myself to make the trip, and then consider what God has done on many peoples within 2 or 3 weeks, then I'm ashamed and I say, Lord, do not impute this unto me, for I am set for to carry the word revealed by God. The critics don't do it. If they would do it, then I could remain at home. This I would like to do after all these years. Here, there are some scriptures. I start with Acts, chapter 15. Here it says, in verse 23, and they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, to whom we gave no such commandment. Let us stop at this point for a moment. If we search the book of Acts and the New Testament, then we will soon find out that not everybody could do what he liked, but that God is a God of order and that He has set into His church various ministries and responsibilities. Men who were set by the Lord, thus it is written, God has set into the church, and thus it remains. If then something shall be said or decided, then it cannot be just somebody. This must, in the kingdom of God, run in a real harmony. And we must return into this divine order. To get into this divine harmony, so that God can manifest Himself. At that time, people traveled and have troubled everybody. And then they went on. To this, no one needs a commission. This everybody can do very quickly, but hardly no one can make it well again. There are things which cannot be made well again. And if I say this today with a wistful heart, that I do not want to stand in the shoes of them who went so far, that that what they have done and caused cannot be made well again. I do not want to trade places with them. God has an order, and whoever is in the kingdom of God is placed into this divine order. There nobody needs to teach the other or to work on him. By the Spirit of God, we find our place in the kingdom of God. And in as much as we have become a part of the kingdom of God and of the church of the Lord, we will make efforts that this church to which we belong, the body of the Lord, who consists of many members, we will then take care of, that this body is not defiled, that it is not pulled into the dirt. After all, we are a member on this body. How could a man be so foolish to vilify himself and to cause earthly pain? Only a person who has no more a clear mind will do that in the earthly realm. Only he who is spiritually of a corrupt mind will do the stupidities which cause damage to the church. The Holy Scripture tells you and me and to all the others also, if one member suffers, then the whole body suffers. And many don't mind that at all. They are lofty, they are in the right, they can be naughty, and they don't know that they cause a damage in the kingdom of God. And the Holy Scripture says, whoever defiles the temple of God, him God will destroy. and the temple of God are we? Do we want to destroy ourselves? Do we want, as just recently there in Beirut, with high speed driving there with much explosives together with us? And do we want to take the risk to be blown up ourselves? We see this is being done. And who does it? People who are filled by the satanic hatred and blinded, who make themselves available as the tools for the powers of darkness. To them, it doesn't matter then who else is blown up, as long as they can do this heroic deed. If believers do the same, then they may not make the claim to be in the ministry of God. I tell you, and this also Brother Branham said, you can, on the natural development, you can read the spiritual measurements. The things run always parallel next to each other. And if we transfer this to the kingdom of God, then we don't have to marvel. Thanks be to the Lord that we may be in safety. Although we are blown up into the air, yet we come down again well. It's really those who are killed, who carry the explosives hidden in their pocket. I am convinced that God calls out His church, and that the fear of God must return, and the respect before that what God does. Before we can walk forward, at that time, in the days of the apostles, that's how the writer complains here, by saying, because we heard that some of our midst have come to you. And this is always the nicest. If somebody can come who is of my hometown and says, I come from Krefeld, then this has something to say. If he would say, I come now from Honolulu, then that, what he says, would have no weight. But if it, so to say, comes from the key aspect, then everything is in a turmoil. For one thing, the people are in the know. Yes, but not about themselves. And therein is the big problem. Because we have heard that some of our midst have come unto you and trouble you with words, subverting your souls without having received a commission to it from us. Thus it seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you, together with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. This is the divine order. Everyone who hears something and who is troubled has the right to say and to ask. This right he has, but he must turn to the right address, so that to all underhandedness and guile can be put an end to. We are ready to give information. Furthermore, there are some scriptures which also speak of this divine order. Even prophets have to submit. It says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 32-33, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. You all know, in various countries, there are hundreds or thousands who have themselves no peace, causing much unrest, but are demonstrating for peace. And also this is very representative for our time. One can demonstrate in great multitudes for peace, having no peace themselves, causing on every step unrest. Here, we are told that God is in all churches a God of peace. In these churches must and will be the divine order. Especially now in these days in which we arrived in, where everybody of himself is convinced and hardly anyone is ready to take his scriptural position. In Ephesians chapter 5, from verse 15, it says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." We shall become wise. We shall understand and recognize what God is doing in these days, redeeming the time, for it is precious, it is valuable. It's the preparation time for the long eternity. And we know that we will make it only together. You cannot give your brother and your sister a kick and then running on. We must remain fair and see that our brother and our sister are not left behind. The love of God joins us and connects us with one another so deeply and so heartily as the love of God in Christ was toward us. If we don't feel for one another in this way, then we must once again come into the presence of God, so that our heart and nature is changed. Love is not a thing which is just expressed in words, but in the deed and in the truth. God loved us and He expressed it. Be honest. How do you feel for your brother and for your sister? Is their pain your pain which you feel in your soul? Is their trouble your trouble? Do you share? Do I share? Are we joined with the head and with one another so deeply in the divine love that we bear with one another, that we feel with one another? Yes. That we can share the problems and troubles and also the joy and blessing with one another heartily and deeply. God wants to do a complete work in us. He doesn't want that we just make a pious face. With this, nobody can appear before God. He wants our hearts, and then He wants to transform. How often were our hearts stony? And God already said through the prophet in the Old Testament, I will take from you the stony heart and give you a heart of flesh. A heart which feels, a heart which senses, a heart which can put itself into the place of the brother and the sister. And when the songwriter sings, give me a heart for your praise, a heart for your honor, then we must understand what he wanted to express with it. Here we are told that we shall redeem the time because the days are evil. We should not be unwise, but rather seeking to understand the will of the Lord. Almost until midnight, we were in a conversation in London, and a brother who fled from Baghdad, he sat opposite me, and he said suddenly, Brother Frank, I wait here already for some time before the Lord. I want to know what He wants me to do. And I said, Brother, to this purpose I have come here to tell you what God is doing now. Everybody can run and do. There are just few who are ready to wait until they are set in by God. And then he said to me that he came through these countries in the Middle East, and he hopes that we can walk together. The time must be redeemed at all costs. With what? Here it says, that ye understand what the will of the Lord is. Not our, not my, and not thy will, but His will must be done. And we believe that God has given us, the most gracious, the all-embracing visitation, as in no other generation, that the teaching and the divine order and the being placed into it, that this must come first, this we all know. And believe me, we do not wait for God. God waits for us. It must and it will come to the point that we all experience a spirit baptism at which not only lips are moved, but at which the heart will be filled with the nature of Jesus. Also about this we have spoken already. Nothing against it. We believe in every biblical promise. But we don't believe that one has to shake the head of a person and then commanding him, speak, speak, speak. But we believe that God, that the Lord baptizes with the Spirit and with fire. And if this happens, then a fountain breaks forth in your soul, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And people have, and this I don't say as a criticism, but as a fact, the people turned the thing upside down. Throughout the charismatic movement, it is being done this way. Speak, speak, speak. I may not even tell you what I experienced in a city, also on my journey, for it was an absolute blasphemy. We want the scriptural way, the divine order, the real, the genuine being placed into the body of the Lord. We don't want any self-deception. We want to stand our ground before the Lord and experience the power of His resurrection and receive into us the power of the Spirit. That God has given us the gift of discernment is not our merit. And I say it to you and to all who perhaps will hear this sermon. We could have never aligned the measuring rod if God would not have sent His servant and prophet William Branham with a very clear proclamation, where it was as with a razor blade separated from one another. We would have walked on with a broad multitude and would have meant everything is in order. We can be grateful for the sending of such a man of God who by the commission of the Lord brought the pure divine word to the church. And this pure word is sown as the pure seed, and there will come forth a pure divine harvest of sons and daughters of God, as certain as God has given the seed of the word, and as certain as we received it. If for now, and also this, not because we think to be better than others, just the contrary, because we know that it is not our merit. But now we can see through the matter and we can discern it. And the question comes up now. Where is the measuring rod? There are many. They have the gift of discernment. They discern non-stop. And do you know how? Everything what is not cut to their measurement, this is anyhow not okay. All the interpretations, all own explanations must be wiped off the table. The Word of God remains forever. I read today on the flight to Zurich in Isaiah 40, and there is written this nice verse, Isaiah 40 from verse 6. The voice said, "Cry." And he said, "What shall I cry?" All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Word of our God shall stand forever. That is how John the Baptist began his sermon. This word was written in reference to him. Who is the man? Who are the people who today have a full mouth, opening it widely? Also, they will not have an answer to the thousand questions on the day of judgment. Who is the man who wants to brag? Has God not put us all under unbelief to have mercy on all of us, so that no flesh glories before him? Nevertheless, we are convinced that the Lord watches over all things and brings everything wonderfully to pass. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it's written from verse 16, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. And now I am going to tell you something. It happened in Cairo, in a home meeting. And there was a lady from the USA who walks as a prophetess through the country. And the responsible brother, he said, "We have visitors here, two visitors are here, may they share the time." And I always take real regard, but only there where it fits. Here, I thought by myself, I will start and I stop when God wants. Whether time remains or not, this was no more my problem. And so, it took place. I preached the word of the Lord, and after I was finished, this lady comes forth on her seat a bit. She remained sitting and looks at the responsible brother and asks, "Do you wish that I serve now with my gift or not?" Oh, I thought, this is a thing that one asks men whether one may serve with a gift. Yeah. But it became even more funny, and this was really nothing to laugh about. Suddenly, she jumped up, ran to somebody and told some things there. I just said, "Lord, I'm under the blood and under the leading of the Holy Spirit, and I resist this spirit." And she, of course, everywhere she did as she liked, the gift of revelation, and said to everybody something, so a couple of nice things. And do you know what then happened? The woman, she could not look at me. She passed me by a couple of times, right and left. You know, in a home cell, it's not like in a building. I just said in my heart, "Lord, this home meeting must be delivered of that spirit to which it is submitted." And suddenly, when she was finished with her thing, she shouted loudly, "I cannot remain here." And she didn't even say goodbye. All you could hear was the door slamming. And when she went out, two scriptures came into my heart. 1 Corinthians 14, nicely for the women. "Pardon me, sisters, but God has a nice order. And every man, whether man or woman, you will not be able to feel comfortable in the kingdom of God until you have taken the place that God has assigned unto you. There is no other way. Do you want your own order? Do it at home, but not in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, God's word applies, and by this it remains. In any case, I, as a visiting brother, I wrestled with myself, but only a little while, whether I should say something. And then I did it. I simply said, so that the responsibility which I have before God is taken from me, I read you two scriptures. And I have read the two scriptures, not saying one sentence to it, then it was amen, then it was finished. But God has given the breakthrough. When the meeting was finished, the first brother already came toward me and said, "Brother Frank, for so long it goes on like this, and I knew in my heart that it is not right. And you have the courage." I said, "Forget the courage. Here I stand before God. I can do no other. God help me." And he was so happy. And then, of course, also all the others. And they said, "God has sent you." Being taken out from these pious doings by which they are deceived, and to place them under the word of God. There would be still some things, very tough things, which could be said. I'm grateful to the Lord that he has helped us. Let us not forget it. Jesus, our Lord, builds his church. His church is his body, and at the same time the pillar and foundation of the truth, unshakable, unchangeable truth of God is His precious and holy word, and nothing but the word will now have room in the church. The true Holy Spirit does not work after your and my imagination, but always in perfect conformity with the Word of God. There we have the measuring rod. Thereby we can discern whether the thing is of God or not. I say it once again. My heart, I myself, am grateful for the unmerited grace, for the gift from God, which He has given to the church in this generation, namely, that He has brought us back to His infallible Word, and that His Word, which we received in us, He Himself will make it alive in His time. This is without question, for His Word is a living Word. And if it was planted in your and my heart, then it cannot be dead. After all, it's the germ of life in the Word of God. Jesus, our Lord, says, "The words which I speak unto you, they are spirit and life." How many of you are occasionally, not only at the last Sunday, but also in the everyday life, grateful to God for His gracious visitation, for His clear, unmistakable speaking, for the answering of all questions, for the revelation of all the mysteries, the leading into the divine order. If we get grateful with all our hearts for that, what God already has done, then with joy He will give even more and do more. A biblical order sent by God, not just to come and to bring a commotion, causing unrest, causing confusion, but rather coming with the Word of God to help the people and to bring them the Word of the Lord. There we have the guideline. He whom God sends speaketh the words of God. Is this not wonderful? Already this tiny little statement. And then, as the next is, he who does not speak the words of God is not sent from God. It's as simple as that. If it is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit, I want to thank you here with all my heart, who you remember me and the ministry in your prayers. You shall know that you have a direct part in that what God is doing right now. You are not just here to occupy a seat for 1 or 2 hours. You are here Because God has called you. Because he revealed himself to you. Because you recognized the value and the preciousness of his word. Although we are still human beings, and this will most surely remain like this until the end. But God has worked in us something new, something remaining, something eternal, and we wait with longing and sometimes under sighing for the day of our bodily redemption. It will come very soon. Jesus, our Lord, comes soon. Praise be to his name. Amen. Let us stand up. We want to bow our heads, persevering in silent prayer before God. May he give us grateful hearts, full of love, full of holy sprouts, as a song goes. We want to be as he wants us to be at his return. We ourselves cannot save ourselves. We cannot heal ourselves. We cannot deliver ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. But the more he can do all things, to save, to deliver, to heal, to save. We recognize two things: our impotence and his omnipotence, our helplessness and at the same time his helping hand, our being lost and our being saved through him, who is our Savior. As we now, in his presence, bow our heads and persevere in silent prayer, I would like to ask whether somebody is here who would like to dedicate his life to the Lord. Precious heart, although you would know everything about the kingdom of God and yourself have not been born into it, thus being part of the church of the living God, all your knowledge will be of no use to you. It will only add to the disappointment. Therefore, we give the call to come to the Lord, namely all who would like to come to him. This is the day that he has made to save, to heal, and to deliver. As we persevere in silent prayer before God, I ask for that those who would like to be included into this prayer, that they briefly raise their hand. God will see it. God sees the hands. Thank you. The Lord sees us all. He knows us by name. He knows where we stay. We are like an open book before him. But he has not come to condemn, but to save and to bless. And this we believe. It is salvation. It is healing. It is grace with our God. Receive it, precious heart. You will not regret it. Let me ask for the last time whether still somebody is here who would like to raise his hand for a sign that he wants to serve the Lord. Thank you. God bless. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord, Almighty God. How wonderfully you planned everything. You know where your own are gathered, who have called a long time to you, that you send them someone. Lord, you didn't come too late. I thank you for the last journey, for all the new brothers and sisters whom I could greet in your name. Especially, it touches me, O Lord, that these brothers and sisters are amongst the nations who come from Abraham via Ishmael. But Lord, we were not in the program at all. We were heathen and served other gods. But you purposed a plan to purchase for yourself a church from all peoples, tongues, and nations, to call her out, to redeem her, to pardon her, and to save her. Faithful Savior, thank you that it gets through from all peoples, tongues, and nations. Lord, every verse, every line in this Bible is true. I thank you for it, and I glorify your wonderful name. Lord, all who have raised their hands, you have seen them. How is their heart crying to you? They see themselves surrounded by circumstances in an inner trouble and cannot help themselves. We pray together for them. Come now to their help and until the end of their life. Save, forgive, deliver, bless, and reveal yourself to each of them who calls to you and who comes to you. To you we commit the precious souls and welcome them in your precious and holy name of Jesus. May your special blessing, O Lord, come upon them and upon all of us. Faithful God, I thank you for all my brothers and sisters who are gathered here, and we remember also them who cannot be here today. Lord, go and follow your own. You are the rightful owner. You are the good shepherd. You leave the 99 and you go after one. O God, Give us of your nature, of your mind, and lead us through your Spirit. Place us into the divine order fully. Lord, let us rightfully say that we belong to your church, that we are submitted unto you, the head, and at the same time joined with one another. Faithful Lord, bless us all from the riches of your grace. In Jesus' name, Amen.